I saw Tony at this party, right? And he told me, he's like, yo, you want to do my, it's literally a birthday show. He said, yo, you want to do my show at the Laugh Factory this Sunday? I was like, hell yeah. And he was like, all right, bet. Pull up, do 7:30, 7:15, you can do my show. I got you. The whole time, I pull up, I'm early, I'm here. I do the show. I go up. He finds out, like, hold on, after my set, he's like, wait a second. This nigga's not Tehran. This nigga is. Who is this nigga, right? I ripped. I did a good job.
I let him think
I was Tehran. He's like waiting on the Persian and black shit. I'm like, so I'm black and Cuban.
Everybody, welcome back to your Sunday Scoop. I am your host, Kamari Love, and today I am joined by my co-host, Richie Rich.
What's up? I'm here. Clearly, we had to switch it up because the second seat was cursed. So we're resetting the room.
We're resetting everything. Yeah. As always, we are joining you live from the world famous Laugh Factory in Hollywood, California. If you are back joining us today, thank you so much for joining us again. And if it is your first time, welcome. Be sure at some point in the chat to drop in and let us know where you're listening from.
Yep. And just a few housekeeping rules. Make sure to...
add us on Spotify. I thought you were going to take it. Make sure to join the podcast. We're on Spotify. We're on Spotify, Apple. We're on YouTube. Everything. All of that. Subscribe. Yes. So for today, what's up, guys?
Hey,
how you doing?
Hello.
We got Brandon.
Yes.
And we got Keenan.
What's up? Yes.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us upstairs.
Are we not doing last names? Is
that I guess not. You're just Keon.
Any Keon. No, we are. We're not famous.
You know, God knows how many Brandons there are.
Like, we're not famous at all.
It's the go-to name.
Yeah. They definitely need our last names. They don't know us at all.
We know you, man. We know you. How you guys been doing, though? What's been going on?
Well, you know.
Just got off stage.
Yeah. Doing great. You're hosting very well.
Oh, thank you. I'm chilling. You, sir?
Yeah, I also
Brandon,
just...
Brandon, how are you? Brandon?
I'm doing good, Keon.
Oh, thank you, Brandon.
I just got off the stage at the Laugh, and here we are upstairs now. Laugh. We don't use last names anymore.
We're doing a pod right now.
Yeah, doing a pod for chocolate.
Awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you guys with us here today.
No problem.
Oh, man, did you guys watch that Versus?
I tried.
Yo.
It was rough.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
You know, I just saw clips and I realized that I don't need to go back and spend whatever was it, 2 hours, 3 hours of the time?
Four hours.
Yeah, I don't need to go back. Just send me the highlights.
Yeah, the highlights are the funniest
part. Okay, because I just understand. At what point did a watermelon enter?
Bro.
What does that have to do with anything?
And he did it twice.
What does that have to do with anything?
Apparently, he was simulating eating.
Oh, eating the box. Okay, I get it. I get that. But like, water. Like, can we coon any harder? Any other fruit? Any fruit? Why the watermelon? A date?
You know, like just relevance. I don't know, but it was all bad. It was all bad, and nobody could sing.
Mario sounded good.
That was the only one.
Sammy sounded cool. What made me laugh though was like everybody was like they can't sing, and I'm like, duh.
Yeah. We've been auto-tuning for a minute.
Like, that's what was tripping me out was everybody in the comments is like, they sound so bad. I'm like, no, sweetie, they were always bad. Yeah. You were just 16 and horny. And you didn't give a shit.
That is not so good then.
You were just like, oh, he's so fine and blah, 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 abs. But he never could sing. They were never good at singing.
Sammy has abs?
No. Sammy sounded fine, but I'm talking about Omarion and Ray J and Jeremiah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they were never good singers. It's just people were horny.
Yeah.
And then you grow up and you're actually losing your ears and you're like, they're horrible. It's like, no, that's how they've always sounded. Yeah. They just had engineers and stuff fixing shit.
That's true. Actually, they just mastered,
Omarion's never been able to sing. Like, the nigga was dancing and shit.
He distracted you. He's like, boom, 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 boom,
and Ray J, he sounded, we just... The thing is,
Reggie had his whole baby up there. Let's put that baby
and blame
to
the baby.
But
my son, the baby's like, nigga,
why was the
like, I'm like, trying to sleep?
I don't understand why. Like, nobody could watch
nobody
the baby.
Could watch,
like, he couldn't find no one to watch the baby for the verses.
That baby must be bad as hell.
They said, nah, you're gonna have to take your baby up there on stage with you. Like, that's how.
And the thing is, One Wish is just a guilty pleasure. We knew he couldn't sing then. It was just a guilty pleasure. I just liked the song. But he was awful.
And that's a song, like, you can't say the word wish without your voice cracking and breaking. Like, the word wish. I'm not going to say wish. Wish is a hard word.
But then the jabs they were throwing at each other. Like, nigga, we trying to help you.
That's what I'm saying. And he got hot at everybody else singing his song. But I'm like, they're singing it better than you.
And then Mario was hilarious to me because he knew vocally he was better than everybody else.
Yes.
So he had the arrogance. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the shots he was taking and shit was so funny because he was like, I know I'm better than you. Mario acted like a stand-up comic talking to a social media comedian.
I was just thinking about that. Like, could you imagine,
like, if the social media...
A comedy versus, you know what I'm saying?
Like, so a stand-up like, and a like, social media... And the stand-ups are going to be like,
This is what
I do.
Yeah. I think of even like roasting, you know? Like, almost if a person that knows how to roast and a person that doesn't know how to roast, you'd be like, okay, that's cute. I'm going to let you get your two other in. Okay,
right.
Okay.
Mario had that energy. It was I know I sing better than you.
Yeah, yeah.
It was obnoxious.
But the machine didn't push him like that. The machine makes stars. The machine, granted, you have to have it. You have to have that factor that makes people.
Some factor,
but they can make anybody with it famous. You don't have to be able to. It's so many. It's probably the most watered down talent of all time right now. Yeah. But don't fucking matter because nobody cares. And we were guilty of it too. Like, we was like, but the beat. Like, that nigga sucks.
Nah, there's a lot happening behind the scenes.
There's a lot of people like, Ashanti, I love her. She can't sing like that. But I was like, but I want to put my penis in. Like, so I didn't care.
We all did.
I didn't care. Like, the girls was like, her baby here. I was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Baby, like, baby, baby. Yeah, that song's directed at me when I used to hear
that. Yeah, like, I had her on my walls. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we understand that. Oh, it's not high? You want it higher?
Can you hear me now?
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. Can you hear us?
You got to raise the roof.
Hey, how about y'all throw some better topics next? No, I'm playing. That Versus was dry as hell. Like, we can't. How about we get lit out some whack-ass shit, you know?
Well, here. Cheers.
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 Is that that's the segue?
Oh, we're doing the black people drink?
That's the segue.
We don't have to finish it, though, right? We don't have to finish it?
Wow.
No, you can do what you want to do.
I'm going to take a sip, you know? Like they want us to
I'm an
fight.
Adult.
They want us to fight on here. I always thought that, though, Mario, like, I don't understand why he did, like, there's so many opportunities. He could have campaigned with Nintendo and had a motherfucking better deal than that, you know? Like, just playing on the whole Super Mario, like, there's so much shit that I would have done in if I was in his lane, you know?
No. You guys want to hear a funny story?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I fucking bombed, like, 2 hours ago.
Where?
Where?
At the Improv. It was bad.
And you had to come here? And you had to come here?
Wait, you do stand-up?
Yeah.
I did not know
I'm, like, getting into it. I'm getting into it.
Oh, you're starting.
I'm starting.
You're going to bomb a lot more, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was brutal. And then I just had to come here. And just reset, smile.
You know, it's funny, and I'm hoping.
So well, sorry. So that was my fault that it's probably the energy, my energy. I was bringing bomb.
You're thinking about, man. I should have said that one joke differently and shit,
bruh. Yeah.
Yo, but also, aren't you glad that nobody else from the Improv is here right now? Like, you know for a fact they're still locked in watching other comedians. Like, there's no way.
Unless I'm gonna remember.
Unless somebody follows you just to be like, nigga, that was trash. Just to come here and then leave.
That's the best part about stand-up not being famous is like. No one knows.
No one knows
the struggles. People don't know you until you make it.
Yeah,
and then they're like, "He's so funny." They don't see the struggles.
You can have
they
a covert bomb. Yeah,
they don't it's see true.
It. We can bomb for years, and no one knows, and then you just blow up, and they're like, "He's so good."
What do you do when you like what? When you bomb,
you leave immediately. You get in your car.
No, but that's what I said.
You
so
go
I was
home.
Trying to tell my family. My family came to watch me, and after the
bomb,
I
your
was
family
like,
was man, there.
They're sitting in the front row looking at me, and I was like, "Yo,
they won't come anymore." But
I texted my mom. I was like, "Hey, let's go." And they were like, "No, we're just gonna stay."
Oh,
and
nah.
So I was, like,
was it the main room or was it the
main room?
In your defense, this is Hollywood Improv.
Hollywood Improv.
In your defense, those crowds be trash.
It was bad.
Those crowds be trash.
I'm not going to blame it on the crowd, though.
No, but they do. Like, at the Hollywood Improv.
Blame the crowd a little bit. It's fine.
They be trash. I mean, I'm sure you did horrible. But.
Thanks.
But the crowds.
Thanks, Keon.
The crowds be trash. The crowds.
In your defense.
Awful, you know what I mean?
Okay. So, have you guys.
No, like, you bomb, like, here, and then you suck. Yeah.
No, but in my head, I was like, damn, it made me have so much. Well, I already had respect for you guys getting on stage and doing your thing here, but, like, just so much more respect in front of this audience. Because I was like, damn, if that would have happened here. I don't know if I would come back to Laugh Factory.
You know, if it happens here, then you get on that wait list for another 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got it. When they give you that time to shine on this thing, you got to come with it. I'm talking first impressions. I'm talking graduation spot. I'm talking, like, right when you just get in the, and you're starting the show. Like, you got to come with heat, like every single time.
To anybody who
wants to
talk to
somebody. You got, like, because the show is, like, even when you're interested, they give you a date that's, like, 5 years in the future. You're like, nigga, we're gonna be dead by then. Like, we don't. They'll be like, oh, we're
gonna
run.
Your set's probably
changing so much.
They gave me a date. I was already referred and started doing sets, and then I still had a date in the can, right? So I started doing shows, and then they called me one day, said, "Hi, Brandon. So we have your date. Like, mind you, I like moved here in, like, 2010.
Yeah.
And they probably gave me a date like 2013. I'd already started doing Chocolate Sundays prior to that, right? But my date had just come up, and so they still called me and said, "Hey, yeah, so you have a show coming up in 2 weeks on the I'm like, I just performed last week. Like, they were all excited. Like, "Yeah, aren't you excited? It's going to be your first one." I'm like, I surpassed my, you know, but that was through referrals and everything. But nonetheless, like, it's like, this place is, it's a fortress, but it's like, it's worth it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, take it seriously. Like, really bring that heat when you come here, because it's like, it's Chocolate Sundays. It's like, this is a who's who. This is a,
I think that's what puts the pressure on the comedians more than just doing stand up, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're new, you're from some random Midwest town, you coming in, you're seeing celebrities, you're seeing comics that you might watch on the internet or in real life or whatever that you admire, whatever, and it's your turn. I think the pressure of the peers gets to people more than the pressure of the crowd.
Yeah.
They'd
be like, "Oh, God, everybody's watching."
Because there's a whole bullpen upstairs.
Yeah, and I want everybody's respect.
Yeah.
And when they should be thinking, fuck them.
Right.
Like, the hell with your peers. Your peers
ain't about the audience.
They're the most forgiving. Yeah.
Your peers understand, your peers, and your peers ain't, they're not buying tickets to your shows. Your peers, like, I remember when I moved here and I was doing stages, I was like, I don't give a fuck what the comedians think.
Yeah.
It's about the crowd.
Right. You
know what I mean? How many years ago was that?
I was 7, 8. My son's 6, so like 7, 8 years. Mm. Now, granted, I did crack him up, fucking murder. But that's how I got cool with everybody. They were like, "That nigga funny."
Yeah.
Like, so it
on your
help
first time?
It, out here.
Yeah, okay.
See, that's the thing. I didn't start here. I started in the Bay.
Got it. Okay.
So I got here, that 7 minutes that I did at Crack 'em Up, I already been doing for. So it was like, it was polished.
Right.
So I do understand the pressure of the peers, because if your peers think you're funny, then it's like, "Hey, man, what you doing Tuesday? I got this show I run." Yeah. So I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it on that end, but I think people care way too much about what your peers think of
you. But there also is another aspect to it that's like the comedians that are up in the bullpen also kind of sometimes enjoy watching the bomb. You know, because like you'll see other comedians laughing, like when they say the shit doesn't hit, and they're like, "Yeah, it's crazy." So, you know, we just where the single ladies
at? I don't think the bombing's funny. The bombing's not what's funny, because actually it sucks to see somebody bomb.
But it's how they get out of it, right?
We know what's coming after the bomb. So when you see somebody struggling, it's the same shit. Yeah. How you ladies doing out there? we're my happy couples. They know I'm looking for something.
So who's been married? Who's been married?
This is where I got fucked up. So I get on stage, right? I say my opening line, and my set just gone.
What's your opening line?
I can't. I don't even want to. It's traumatizing. I don't even want to do it right now.
Let's fix it.
So I've been dating a barista at Starbucks that works at the Starbucks across the street from me.
Okay.
Right? I already know you're about to.
No,
this
I'm
joke.
Waiting.
We
no.
still.
That's so the thing.
Is that all the joke you gave them? Nigga?
That's one thing you'll learn the longer you do it, is when the audience is quiet, they're just listening.
They're listening.
So I was just listening to you. I'm like, what do you got? That's all they're doing. Can't be afraid of the silence.
Watch.
Embrace it.
So I've been dating this girl.
She has no confidence in it.
He's already bailed on this joke.
You gotta believe what you're saying.
Change it to coffee bean, maybe.
I've been dating this girl with coffee bean across the street from my house, right? Some call it convenient. Others call it dangerous. I call it dangerously convenient. Okay.
Okay.
Right? Froze. Forget the whole next line, nothing. So I'm just standing there. And then I start vomiting all of my internal thoughts.
Oh, I thought you
no, not literally. That would be
terrible. Yeah. Yes. And your family still wanted to stay?
So I start just saying all the things that are in my head. I'm like, "Oh, shit, I'm bombing. Like, it's happening." And, like, then my uncle's sitting literally, like, to the right of the stage. fucking dying laughing, cracking up. I'm looking like in the audience. I'm like, line, like what's the line? Like somebody give me the line. Like my boy Henry, I don't know where he is, but he helped me like rehearse the set. So he was in the crowd. And I was like, Henry, what's the line? Like,
but they didn't laugh at Henry. What's the line?
No, they did. So that's the thing. That's so it was like the people that were watching the set, they were saying that it was funny, but in my head, it was like, damn.
It wasn't hitting like you and Henry.
I knew what jokes I wanted to hit. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And
they were laughing at you.
But mission accomplished. You made me laugh. Like,
sometimes you got to take that shit.
So, but I still don't understand. So, after you're dating this girl from Starbucks, it's dangerously convenient, conveniently dangerous.
Yes.
What's the next part of the joke?
So, the next part of the joke.
Oh, you don't even know it now.
Hey, bruh, it's like...
Traumatized.
It's traumatized.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus.
What was the next part of the joke?
You can't even do it now. Pressure.
Pressure.
Damn, bro. See, y'all can't do what we do like that. It's harder than it looks.
It's
hard.
No. It's
hard.
It is
my camera? It's very hard. Is this on me?
Yes.
Stay out of this. You don't want no parts
of this. You don't want no part of this shit. We make it look very easy.
No, it's very difficult.
No, it looks difficult. Like, I mean, it don't look like
that. Like, it's so great to watch somebody do their first couple times because they get up there and they realize, fuck.
For real.
Yeah. This is...
Yeah.
Except for the delusional. You always got the delusional to be like, I killed him. Like, I saw it.
Oh, or I ripped last night.
That's not ripping.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not ripping.
That's how you feel about it.
So has that ever happened? I'm sure you guys have bombed before, but like, give us like a good bomb story.
Let's see.
They said I have none.
No. Flawless. I've never had just a set where I got no laughs, like straight up. You know, I've never gotten booed. I've never gotten like to the point where motherfuckers are like get off the stage.
Yeah.
But I have had shows where people wanted to fight me afterwards.
Whoa.
You know, you be talking shit.
Well, I get heckled. They're not intimidated by me, so sometimes I get heckled, and then. The thing is, I roast, you know, like I truly roast. So I come back with roasting, and then they're like, oh, well, now we got to want to take it to the hand. So I've had people wait outside for me because they wanted to fight me, you know.
Can you fight?
I'm decent. Like, okay. I can't say that I'm always, I can size up people like, nah, you know, I'm going to bow out on this one.
That's
smart. But there's others where I'm like,
In fairness, I've known Brody a long time. It wasn't his look. Like, people just felt like, I could whoop his ass. Because Brody didn't always look like this. Brody, like, now Brody looks cool. But years ago, Brody looked like, all I do is play video games.
Never
had sex, even though he was. But
still getting bitches. Yeah.
But,
like,
but he looked, he was alternative black looking before that was a thing.
Gotcha. I had a big ass fro.
Yeah,
I used to wear a big fro.
Like, so somebody, a nigga would see him and be like,
I could
whoop his ass. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, internally, I had cornrows from prison. You know what I mean?
You got to be a thug in your head.
I had dreads in my head, you know?
Bombing's inevitable, man. I mean, my probably one of my worst sets ever. I'm doing this set. Well, the show started late. A bunch of, it was niggas, right? Started late. They was already irritated, raining outside. So I'm doing my joke. But I never gave a fuck on stage. Like, I never gave a fuck. So I was like, these are jokes I want to do. They have bits. They have parts. So I do the bit. It bombs. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to do every tag that goes with this joke.
Oh, my God.
I did every tag. Bombing. Didn't give a fuck. I was like, I'm going to do every tag.
It's the confidence, though.
I'm working on this joke.
They wanted the joke.
Yeah.
They wanted the joke to be over so bad. And you just kept tagging it up.
I just kept doing because I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, I know this is funny because I've done other places. It's just not hitting right now, but I'm going to work. I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working to get better.
No, that's good energy.
So then... I finished that joke, bombs, right? I got like 2 minutes left. I do this joke. I know that works. It works. Yeah, that joke hits. Mm-hmm. This is how I know I did terrible. The host, which was like my OG at the time, right? He comes on stage. He daps me up. He whispers in my ear, hey, but you hung in there, man.
Oh, no!
That's all that matters. You hung in there. And he whispered that, and I was like, yeah, you know.
You're right, you're
I got
right.
off stage, and my boy, who... We started together. We have podcasts together, all this shit right now.
Yeah.
But he goes, so that's what we doing?
That's
hey, hey,
that's
know?
Bad. So,
you know, that's I keep honest people around me. We don't be doing that. No. Hey, you did. He was like, nigga. I was like, yeah, that's. I knew I was bombing. I just didn't give a shit. Like, I was like, I don't care about. I don't think it's personal. You guys are irritated.
Right.
The show started an hour late. You've been standing in the rain. You're mad.
Yeah.
So
there's really nothing you could do at that
And
point.
It was like, nigga, and back, I'm be honest, when I started stand-up, I didn't, probably my first 6 months to a year maybe, I didn't do, like, I did okay in black rooms because I didn't know how to get them fast.
Mm-hmm.
I had, like, these long, like, build up, like,
black rooms, you can't do that in black rooms.
And it's like, they like,
gotta,
no, now.
You
right
got to relate immediately.
Yeah. And I was like, I was so, I don't know if it was arrogance or whatever, but I was like, no, nigga, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to meet me where I'm at. And then I just learned how to just still do what I wanted to do, but also connect. You
gotta build their trust
first. But the funniest thing, like, I had another bomb with niggas, right? And this dude comes up to me after the show. He was like, fuck what they talking about, bro. You funny.
Yeah.
These niggas stupid. And I was like, nah, man. He's like, nah, bro, you funny.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward, it's not a problem.
You funny. Yeah.
But up front, it was just, it wasn't even the joke. It was just connecting fast. Faster. Yeah. I was slow. I was like, I gotta go faster. So I started hosting shows. The OG was like, you want to get good fast.
You're a great host, man.
So that he told
great
me
great host, yeah.
He said, you want to get booked, you want to get good fast, host.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have to learn when people are taking orders, nobody gives a shit, but you have to fight through all that. So I just hosted a lot of shit, so I forced to fight.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a lot of people are scared to host. Fight. Like, you got to learn. That's the camera, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He looked.
Like, I know, we were like.
I just thought of a bomb I had. I did.
Yeah, bring it on.
I had one. This was back in Maryland. That's where I started. I'm from the DMV. Represent. I did this show, and I really didn't know what kind of show it was, but it was a show that was like it was a campaign fundraiser, right, for this one woman that was running for like city council at some ward in Maryland, right? Okay. So I didn't know this, right? So I do this show. I'm like, yeah, I'm just at that time happy to do comedy shows. So I do this show. I come in out, man. I'm doing at this time young comics. I'm still doing dick jokes, pussy, this, that, you know, bitch, man. Like, just.
Yeah. Are you and clean comic?
I'm a cleaner comic, uh-huh. but I'm not clean. You know, like, gotcha. I've learned, this is a sidebar. I can't say bitch on stage. Like, I can't refer to women as bitches. Like, I can't say, like, I was with this bitch last night. It's jarring. I can say, I felt like a bitch. I can say, this
That's
dude called
you
me
an
a bitch.
Evolved man, brother.
No. It's because they don't believe. I'm not. It's like, the way Corey Holcomb can talk on stage is not the way I can speak on stage. Actually, and it's like, it takes. Like, I have to build supreme. If I'm going to say, man, I was with this bitch last night, I've had to build so much trust and, like, respect for the art. Like, but, like, women automatically get turned off, and dudes are just like, ugh, it sounds weird. Like, some people don't even like me saying nigga on stage. Because they sound like it sounds
like
a white dude.
Yeah.
Because of the way I speak. But anyways, doing this show, saying bitches and niggas and all that shit, right? Motherfuckers started walking out. They started walking out because these women, the woman that was running, was like in her 60s, okay? So you understand, like, my prepubescent ass with no facial hair. Like, I'm in my 30s with barely any facial hair.
Yeah.
Had none. So I look super young. So I just look like this super young kid talking about derogatory stuff. So that for them, I probably look like their grandkid just speaking disrespectfully on stage. And I didn't
they
know.
Wasn't having
they
it.
Were
a woman
walking
who's running
out.
For something. For, trying to do something.
Like,
yeah.
Trying to say, I'm bringing Miss Jean. I'm bringing Miss Curl. Yeah. All y'all come. It's going to be a nice quality comedy night.
He said, penis, pussy.
Penis, bitch, nigga, ass, dick.
Like, we're trying to change the community for the youth. Yeah. This is the youth.
We're going to make the community better. I'm going to fight for you. I come out. Yeah, this community needs some dick. Like, just.
So you just finish the set? You just keep it as strong? Like, what'd you do?
I think somebody came to me after that and was like, yo, man, you know, like, this was supposed to, this she was running, like they explained after the fact. Like, it was not like a Marriott. Like,
did she lose the election?
You know, I
was it your fault?
You know, I don't know, and I need to follow up on that story. I just know that, like, I left that hotel so fast because the dude talked to me. I felt awkward. And I couldn't even look at these are older black women. Like, they just like
the judgment.
Older black women. Oh,
unforgiving. You know? You're canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you was in a hotel too?
I was in a hotel, bro.
I bombed in a hotel. There's not another bomb. Same OG was hosting.
Are you serious?
And I did the same thing. I was younger. Got up there. It was older crowd.
Yeah.
Cussing over the top, you know, yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
And I get off, the OG again was like, so what happened? You don't normally even talk like that when you're nervous.
Meetings.
I like the way he talks to you. Like,
I go, so my guy.
Like, I don't know, bro. I just got my head, and then like, I didn't know what they wanted. That's the thing too. When you're early, you try to like, what do they want? Instead of just doing what you,
what your set is.
Well,
you doing what you.
Yeah, you don't know yourself yet. You don't know yourself.
You don't have enough stories.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to win, like, especially, and it's like, it's a connecting thing. Like, it's hard to be, like,
younger comic connecting to older people because there's certain things that you don't, like, honestly,
I've been
through
nothing like
you haven't
I'm 26.
Been through this. But what you got to talk about is your point of view as, like, be honest with yourself. Like, hey, I don't understand how to date. I'm just learning this. Like, I know you guys are married. I want to be that one. You got to, like, kind of give them the authority, but don't act like you're the authority. Acknowledge the fact that you are a young person. Speak from that point of view, and then they're going to laugh at it because they're like, oh, I remember I used to think like that. That's how you become relatable to that.
Right, that makes sense.
But don't be like, man, these bitches nowadays, they fucking, they the worst. You got to speak like, I'm young, guys. I don't understand a lot of, like humble yourself.
Just happy to be here.
People. Yeah, yeah. And, like, and then after that, they'll kind of rock with you. You know, I've learned that in a lot.
Yeah, because I'm 26 and I'm doing these old people. I'm like, look, I'm out here fucking these up. they don't
hear none of that.
They're like, man, no, we're in a relationship.
Okay, so wait, question. So do you typically know what your audience is going to be prior to your set, or do you literally have to get up on stage, scan the room, and change it? Right.
Well, Chocolate Sundays, you know, it's going to be majority black.
Is it?
No.
Chocolate. Anymore, well, that's what I say. I literally go on stage. That's my first joke. I'm like, chocolate? Not so chocolate. It's more like Marshmallow Mondays.
The other people
want to
know what was up.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Once you do this, you know, everything is
funny. Is funny.
Yeah, and you, right? And you just know what you're doing. Like, I've literally been on the phone, and they'd be like, "Come to the stage," I'm like, "I'm gonna call you back, my nigga." Like, and I go up there, like, you don't care no more.
Yeah,
like, you just like, I mean, me.
How long did it take you to get to that
early
point? Really?
Early. I think because I come from a sports background.
Okay.
So I was like
basketball.
Right? Basketball in college. So I'm like, bombing. It's just me.
Yeah.
I just lost. Mm. Sports, my teammates lost. The coaches at the school lost. You ever going back to campus after fucking up?
Bro.
Like, nigga, the whole school.
Hat on.
Like,
I wasn't there.
The teacher's looking at you like, if you would have hit your free throws, we would have had.
Dead ass. Like, and here's an extra bonus question.
Right. Like, we're not going to get that gym this year because Keon's missed free throws.
It's different. Like, that kind of pressure different. Like, you know, when you walk through the halls and you playing your rivals and people before the game, like, you going to. You bringing us home tonight? You're like, oh, shit. Like, everybody's riding on this. Up there, it's just me. Mm-hmm. So I go home by myself. I'm the only one that saw that. Like you said, nobody's going to see that bond. Your friends, but ain't nobody going to remember that shit years from now. Yeah, like, but your school shit, that shit gets documented. It gets newspaper clippings. Like, everybody knows about that shit. So
I think it's the shit for me. It was about just becoming more vulnerable and not trying to just do jokes, you know, not like
that's the transformation.
Share stories.
I feel like because I watch so much comedy, you could tell the people that know, like, are trying to push that vulnerability.
There's a shift, I'm still working. I mean, I'm always going to be a student of comedy, like that, I'll always say that. But the student I am now can be a teacher to my former self, my former, you know, and like now I'm able to like understand, like, I need to speak from a place of vulnerability because that's where the relatability is going to come, because somebody's going through something similar to me. They're going to attach and latch onto that story rather than me just being like, you know what's weird about fucking clout, you know, like
you can
do some far out stuff, but it's like getting the relatability is what earns you the obscurity. You're allowed. They'll allow you after you get
that's
relatability.
It really is.
Right, I love that.
You can say whatever you want.
Wait, say that one more time.
Once you get the relatability, you can get the obscurity.
Because they trust you.
Yeah.
Trust is everything. And that's what I learned with the black crowd. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, they were just like, they didn't trust me.
Well, they were just black people didn't trust issues.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So when I would get up there, everybody, and I think I was so anti roaches and shit. Like, I was like, nigga, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I am not. In all the shows I was doing, though,
everyone's
at the time,
everybody's
like, nigga, roaches, your mama ever hit you so hard? You know, it was death general. Yeah. I felt like I started comedy in 2011, and I was like, the Def Jam era passed. Mm. I'm not doing that shit no more. But these shows I was doing, they were still on that. Mm. And I just felt like, no, nigga, like,
that's not you.
Black people are not monolith. Like, we have so much other shit. Like, I'm sorry. My father raised me. Like, I don't have.
That I'm different.
I don't have. I nigga, you know what I mean? I don't have the other, you know, the shit y'all talking about. I'm sorry. That wasn't my. But now, if you hear me talk now, I can talk about the bad side of having a father. I can, like, I learned how to take the suburban and make it relatable to black people.
I say a similar thing. Like, I could have been something if my dad wasn't in my life. I was like Barack Obama, not his dad, not his life. Tupac, you know, LeBron James. Like, I could have been something if my dad wasn't in my life. And it's so, now, granted, my dad he had another wife. I'm a I'm the product of a side marriage. I'm my dad's youngest, my mom's only. So I'm his fifth child, mm-hmm. you know, from a remarry. Mm-hmm. But like, so
wait,
it's like
me, we. Oh, he married his side chick.
My, which mom. Is my mom.
Mom. Yeah.
So my, so it's like, so
she had
so,
a fire. Like,
so
hey, he stole her from a whole family.
Now, Keon, all right. Jan Brody's a goddamn saint, all right.
Shout out, Jan.
He left his whole family for your mom.
Hey, Keon. When you put it like that, I gotta put that on stage. Like, I have been trying to develop like some kind of joke in that. That's actually hilarious. I gotta be like, yo, that means my mom had that fire, and I don't know how to feel about that. Like, this nigga walked down on four kids.
Said I choose you.
Right. For your mama.
For my
family,
mom.
Bro.
Yeah. And they try to tell me, I think the funniest things that I still like laugh at to this day is when my dad be like, he'd try to tell me I was playing. He'd be like, yeah, you know, your mother came to me and said, Malcolm, I want to have a baby. And I said, all right, well, we're going to have a beautiful baby. He's going to have curly hair. And like, I was like, nigga, I know I wasn't playing. I might have been made in the backseat of a goddamn Mercedes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, you might have been. That's how fire it was. Like, in your family, have a baby with me. Like, okay.
Nigga, I think it was more of a, hey, so I'm pregnant. I'm keeping. I don't care what the fuck you want to do. But,
yeah,
you know, it's just like, so, hey, here we are today.
And now you're alive.
I'm alive. Because my dad
was curly hair.
Exactly.
He's a prophet.
Delivered.
Yeah, my dad was 50 when he had me. You understand?
Wow.
So, you definitely planned that shit.
Yeah.
Well, how old was your mom?
My mom was 36 when she had me.
Yeah, she was like, I want a kid. That's what happened. You get a young. She was like, I want a baby.
She said, any nigga that's throwing out some skeet and some dick, I'm tired of this not baby shit. All
so
my friends,
how is it with your siblings?
It's great now, but they feel more like aunts and uncles because
they're like older.
The disparity between me and the young, so it's like two brothers, it's brother, brother, sister, sister, right? That's the age. And my oldest brother is 61. And then the sister closest to me is 16 years from me, right?
Yeah.
So it's like my nieces and nephews are closer to age to me than my brothers and sisters.
Do you have a joke about that?
Wow.
It's forming right now.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I'm fascinated. You got a grandpa brother, nigga.
I got a grandpa brother?
Like, that is fascinating.
It's perfect. No. I got
your siblings are older than my parents.
Are you serious?
Same. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Like 50
same.
Yeah, yeah. My parents are in their 50s, bro.
That's
actually
wild.
How old did you say your brother was?
My dad right now is at 86 years old.
You got
old.
A grandpa daddy and a daddy brother.
No, I have a great granddaddy daddy because he's literally a great granddaddy because not only do I have nieces and nephews, my nieces and nephews have kids. I'm a grand uncle, bro. You know how old that makes me feel in my 30s? I'm like, I got little kids that are going to have to say, that's your great uncle right there. Like, nigga, I'm still trying to figure out life. And I'm someone's great uncle?
That's wild.
They're going to be coming to you with advice that you ain't got?
That's way too much responsibility.
Shit.
I don't got it yet.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So
you should be talking about all that on stage. That is wild.
No, it's opening up right now. This is great. I needed this. My child is 7, right?
And
I have a son. Yeah, he's 7. Yeah. My son's Ace. Love him.
So he plays with his great nephews.
He can play. He's basically like, because he's their superior as far as cousins. Like his actual cousins are my nieces and nephews, and he's 7. So he has. His cousins, his direct cousins, are in their 30s, late 20s.
Like, that's so unfortunate. Family gatherings are just like, all right.
Yeah, what's your family reunion?
Like,
When was the last family reunion?
Just break everybody up into age groups. Like, they're like, fuck the family tree.
For the three-legged race, we're going to get the 7 to 11-year-olds.
Like, there's no.
So you're going to be with your grandfather in group one.
But you
with
have
the 7
to
11-year-olds. Yeah. It's wild, dude. Like, I mean, I don't think about like, it's like, but you know, when you live a family dynamic like that, you just think it's natural. Like, you don't understand family dynamics and how other people's families work. You just like, oh, this is what it is, and that's what I see as normal. You know, but it's not until you meet other people's dynamics you're like, oh, and then when you actually have kids of your own, that's when you realize, oh shit, life is interesting. Like,
what was a moment to your point, like learning when you're going into someone else's house or someone else's home, like, damn, that's how people are living. Did that ever happen?
Yeah, it was going to my white friend Matt Mercolano's house, and his mom making dinner. And Matt Mercogliano.
That is his real name.
It's so white. They'd have dinner at 5 o'clock, that shit would be bland as fuck. And I'd be so pissed off because I'd have to eat. I think I had a glass of milk, and I hate milk. And so I'd be like, I'd literally be tortured because I'd be over their house, like, oh my god, like I like my because my mom is a chef. She'd be cooking, you know, she cooked.
She cooked, and she got that fire, nigga. Like.
you know, You know what, Keon? Of course Jen your dad Brody left. Is a saint.
Of course your dad left, bro.
Oh, shit.
Duh. Like.
Wait, what else is your mom great at?
Right.
Yeah, just
she's also a lawyer.
Oh, my God. She's of smart, course. Too?
She's duh. Smart. She could cook. She
your
got the fire.
On a come up, you know? He's looking at your siblings, mom. I'm like, no, I can do better.
Nice. Yeah, I'm gonna wrap this up.
Oh God, this is.
I'm gonna stay here.
It's all coming so fast. I've never seen it like this before, y'all.
Of course, Jesus.
Like, I'm ready to leave my wife for your mom. Like, your mom sounds amazing.
Oh
she
my
still
God.
Got it.
Hey, man.
You know
oh,
what I mean?
Shit.
And I know she didn't been through the change already. She can't get pregnant. She can't. It's impossible.
She's going through, yeah, she be talking about her hot flat house.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it hot in here all the time now, yeah, man? Yeah. My parents live at two different climates in the house, first of all. My dad is like, it's so goddamn cold in here. My mom's like, it's so fucking hot. Right. So they have to stay on different levels of the house so they keep their own fucking climate. It's the funniest shit.
Man.
And then I come in there, I'm just completely pissed
you
off
just
in
catch
every
pneumonia.
Room.
You don't know how to feel.
Nigga, I catch pneumonia upstairs, hypothermia on one floor. Like, I'm all
damn it.
Having sunburn and what? Like, it's just. Yeah, it's
sunburn.
Bad, yeah.
He's like, we're going to visit your grandparents, so bring a coat and your swim trunks.
Like,
all right, hey, we'll figure it out.
We going
after
you.
What was the moment you were like, oh, people are living like this for you?
Well, I actually come from a two parent home. Same mother, same father house.
That's congratulations.
We had a dog.
Yeah, honestly.
You had a dog too?
Rare animal.
Did you have a tire swing?
He had
a tire swing.
He had a name tag.
My family, honestly, when my mom and dad divorced, other people.
Oh, they divorced.
Other people cried.
It was one of them.
They divorced when I was like 20.
So your family, you were like your family was like a fixture in the community.
Our family was like Huxtable, like
damn,
they were like,
that's
yo,
hard.
That's a black family.
What's a 20-year-old? What's a 20 like at 20? What's a divorce for a 20-year-old? How do you like I think
honestly,
you're
so
understand. You're just like
you're 19.
Right,
I was 19, 20. At that point, I was annoyed because I'm in college. I'm hooping right. When you play ball, the only time you only breaks you get basketball's a winter sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your Thanksgiving and Christmas break is really short because most of the time you're doing tournaments or whatever. So it's real small. They get a divorce. I'm like. So whose house am I going to? Because I got to split time with you niggas because you can work it
that's
out.
That's so selfish.
That's
yeah.
Yeah. The most selfish shit I've ever heard.
I but mean, not necessarily. It's no. In the middle of season. Like
I'm like, yo, like, it's Christmas. So now, so I can't come to one house anymore. I got to spend Thanksgiving with you and Christmas. Y'all fucking up my plans. Like, y'all,
it'd be like that.
You know what I mean? So me and my brother, we're only 16 months apart. So we didn't really go through the divorce. Mm-hmm. Like, when they divorced, he was going to military. I was in college. Like, nigga, we out of here. But my little brother, he's 7 years behind me. So he went through the
divorce.
So he went to like hella different high schools. He was splitting time, like all that shit. So his feelings about it is way different than ours. Mm. We was just like, well, this is inconvenient. Where he was like, his world changed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like.
How old was he again?
He was at the time, he probably was
around
like
13, 12?
Like 12, 11.
Because that's more pivotal because it's like right. You're not necessarily making your own money. Like you're
no.
Seeing real
and
shit.
And he's just getting dragged.
Yeah.
They never
yeah.
Went to court. One thing, they never went to court. They never had ugly, like none of that shit. They just, who do you want to live with? You know,
I see.
None of that dumb shit. You know what I'm saying?
Did they remarry? Or
they're both remarried now. Uh-huh. And then my dad, so I have a brother who's 12. So it's like, yes, shit.
So y'all, that's not so far off.
I have a brother. Whoa, but the 12-year-old
wait
is him.
A second. You
that.
Have a bigger disparity than
oh, yeah, I have a 12-year-old brother. And wow. So like, but I knew it was coming because of my dad. I'm in college and my dad's getting married. He tells me the girl age. I'm like, nigga, you're going to have another baby. And he's like, no, I'm not. We're like, bro, no. You're going to have another baby.
Yeah.
No, I'm done with this. Here comes a baby. And we're like, duh.
Well, how'd he come to you and tell you that?
He said, hey, she's pregnant. I was like,
on the way.
I know. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
This is a random question, but I'm thinking about being old and having younger kids. Would you ever consider, as you get older, a vasectomy?
What do you mean consider?
He always talks about that on Instagram.
I have my appointment already.
Really?
And the doctor didn't show up. He never quit. Like,
wait,
are you
serious?
Yes.
He was busy fucking.
It was mid-pandemic. I call. I go get my physical. I can do all that shit. I go in. Yeah. And there was a sign on the door. It was like, he's not here. And so I call. And I'm like, I finally get in touch with him. Mind you, when I look this doctor up,
yeah.
All the reviews is like, he does great work, but they have horrible bedside manner, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't need you to be nice to me. You're cutting my balls. I don't need you to be like, oh, look at these balls.
How you doing, Keon? Yeah.
Just do a good job. Yeah. I don't need a nice guy. Yeah. You know.
You don't need a drink and a gift. Yeah. All right, before we...
But they weren't fucking around. Like, they were that rude. So I finally get in touch with them. I'm like, hey, I had an appointment with you guys. Y'all didn't call me to tell me that... She was like, oh, yeah, he quit. He don't do that no more. And I was just like,
he don't do that no more.
Wow. He had one bad sectomy and was like,
so I'm fucking done.
I just called recently. They're going to give me a new urologist, and then I got to go in for my consultation and, you know, take the balls,
yeah,
too.
That's kind of terrible.
I didn't want the balls. Like, they can take the balls.
Whoa, whoa. Wait. Are you going to get, like, the fake ones?
No, they're not taking the balls. But I'm saying, if they wanted to, they can have them. I don't.
Because they do that with dogs, you know.
Yeah.
They have, like, you put the dog neutered. Yeah. You can put.
But mine can look like money.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You just get like bean bags in there. Yeah.
I don't need the balls, honestly. Like, I don't care if I had a penis and mud flaps. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't need.
Like on the back of a truck.
Yeah, it is mud flap sack.
Like, I honestly don't know what I would do if I came across that.
like if somebody if you know, and they didn't tell you. They didn't tell you that they were getting mud flaps.
Yeah. I'm concerned. I'm asking questions.
Niggas are falling back here.
It's okay.
Yeah, I don't need these balls. I don't need them. But yeah, I'm going to get. I'm like, yeah, I don't want no more kids.
Gotcha.
So I'm like, take these. We're good.
Stress free.
You're not scared, bro. You're not scared at all.
No, because I have so many friends who did it. Like so many friends. My brother did it. My friends, like, they're like, oh, nigga, you go in there. You in
so like, you can still bust and everything. Like,
yeah, all it is just no semen. You still busting. It's just it's carefree busting.
Wait, I'm so confused. Does something still come out?
Yes, all the fluid, everything comes out. It's just no sperm in it.
Again, because like,
wait, okay, I'm learning right now.
So it's shooting blanks. You know, you shoot a fake gun, and there's no gunpowder, and that's
so you have the sensation.
You're shooting and everything, and just no way you get pregnant.
And it does it lower like your testosterone levels or anything like that? No.
You're just literally snipping off the part
so
where the sperm
comes
from.
Why would never man do that? I'm confused.
Because dudes have condition like, you ain't touching my balls. Nigga, take these. I don't give a fuck.
That's bitch behavior.
I don't know. No, but it hurt. The balls are such a sensitive region that, like, even thinking about a ball operation, like, I'll get a surgery on my eye before I
get her tooth. That's way more invasive surgery.
Women in general, what we have to deal with.
When a vasectomy is reversible, too. Let's say I change my mind down the line. Well, they just untie it, nigga, and then I'm back to shooting again. Like,
logic. Thank you.
But your pullout game must be terrible. That's
My pull-out game's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Because we were going raw for 4 years, and then she was like, stop pulling out. We had our two kids. And then we was like, we don't want no more kids. I've been going raw for 5 years. No baby still. My pull-out is amazing.
Congratulations.
Amazing.
We got to clap it up.
We're very happy.
Clap
right
it up
now.
For a five-year pull-out game. That shit is... That's
really good.
That's, yeah.
I'm really good.
That deserves a salute.
They
don't talk about that enough. They don't talk about that enough, you know? Like, they need a goddamn ceremony for, like...
That's a high
Guinness World Record. The niggas pulled out... He's been able to pull out for the last 25 years. No babies, no record. You feel me?
Like we had our babies on purpose. And then when I decided we don't want no more babies, I was out of there. And we ain't have... She ain't been pregnant. But I'm getting this just because I'm tired of pulling out. I mean, shooting the club up is fun, man. It feels
a thrill.
Great.
There's a certain thrill.
It's different. It hits different. When she says come inside me, that hits way different.
It does.
Man, you be like,
you actually come in your way, right. You fucking Super Saiyan when they say that.
Now, granted, you're not supposed to be doing that all the time. You fucking up the pH balance.
Thank
you're not supposed to be doing that all the time.
And let's be honest, you can't always find an open CVS at that time for that plan B. Like, every time you do that, that's $53. That's
$53.
That's $53 and 58 cents. I've heard.
Motherfucker got CVS points.
This man got a subscription.
I don't have to buy with cash. I'm like, can I use my CVS points? Oh, yeah, another. We already know. Plan B for Plan Brandon Brody. All right. Get it.
They're like, the usual?
Yeah, the usual. And some Sour Patch Kids.
You guys want to know something funny?
What?
I'm literally the Plan B bitch. Like, I filmed a commercial for Plan B that's been running for, like, the last 2.5 years.
Nice.
So
nice.
It's my face all over Plan B.
You're Plan bitch.
I'm the Plan B bitch. Plan bitch. Don't play yourself. So, I got you. Okay?
So when dudes meet you, they're like, so we going wrong?
No.
Like,
no.
So
I know you got that on.
I know you have, like, a lifetime supply.
Come here, you got it on deck, right?
Like,
you go through her condom drawer, it's just Plan B stacked. Like, I got the strawberry flavor, I got this grape.
Just know we good,
like,
okay?
They meet her, and they're like, they pull out the condom, like, I know you.
You're like,
just put it back in that pocket, like, it's gonna be a good night tonight.
On the contrary, I have no subscription, I have no Plan Bs on me, okay?
Did you know that you were going in for sorry. Did you know you were going in for Plan B, like, for the commercial?
Yeah.
What was that interview process like?
Well, it's just a regular audition. They give you a script, okay, and they expect you to shine. But it's one of those things, like, it's Plan B, but it's fucking Plan B. Like, the rate, it don't really matter.
So they show women riding bikes again and, like, playing tennis.
Basically, it was a lot like a tampon commercial. I was shopping in a nice purple aisle.
After I aborted my child, I can get right back to badminton.
They do. They always make it all light and flirty. But it was supposed to be, like, you know, it's supposed to be encouraging. You know, it's not... Yeah. You know, it's not.
But they should make those commercials like more like realistic. Like,
what's
instead
realistic?
Of, instead of like shopping, she should have like been in her head like, oh, I can't have this nigga baby. Like, I can't.
Vindy,
like,
I
they
know
should have
I'll
the
do.
Stressed out girl. Like,
you gotta
oh,
show the sheets. No, the sheets coming off their head, and them looking at each other. Then you just see a nigga grouchy at a CVS late at night, and then the girl's like, Plan B.
Because we got be you. Up. Like, that's it. Like,
this nigga's
like, Plan B.
Plan B.
Sometimes
if you would like to sponsor the podcast, let us know.
That's it. That's what it should be like. Plan B, because sometimes we be tripping. Like,
Plan B, because whoops. You know what I'm saying?
Plan B.
Yo, these are way better commercials.
Like, and it does.
Way better commercials.
That's good.
Yeah.
Plan B, because in the moment she said, "Don't take it out," and I did. And that's
Plan
why
Plan B, because your credit's bad.
Commercials should be realistic.
Because you got
man.
That thong, thong, thong.
Yeah. I remember my first Plan B experience. Like, yeah. It was with my current wife, but at the time she was just some girl I was fucking, and. I was like,
isn't it crazy? She went from a girl you fucking to your wife,
to
mother
my,
of your
like, queen.
He said, "My bad, babe. My bad."
So like, that's how it started off. Is like, I just seen her. I was like, "She fine. I would like to enter her."
Yeah.
And then so we was doing that.
That's how it goes.
So one time, like, we smashed. We were being safe. We were doing what we were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And then, like,
nerds.
All of a sudden, I was just like, "Wow, this all of a sudden feels really, really good." Right? Finished everything.
Oh,
pulled it
broke.
Out. It broke. Yeah. I didn't know. I never had one break before.
Yeah, the LeBron
so
headband.
So I broke. I'm like, "Yo, you got any?" She was like, "No, I don't just have that shit on me." I was like, "Well, ask your friends if they have an extra one." You know what I mean? And she was like, "No." So I called my friends.
Yeah.
And these hoes was like, "Yep." And they brought it to my house. And they
were
like, "Make sure
real
she take
ones.
It." Oh, I have friends. And they was like, "Make sure she take
real
it."
Real question. Did you watch her take
yes.
it?
Yes. And she was so offended. She was so offended.
So I had a friend recently, bro. This is, I'm not going to say his name. But this nigga literally called me. He threw some skeet up in the club. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And he told me, and he was like, "Yeah, I need to get her Plan B. You think I should get Plan B?" I was like, "Yeah, nigga, unless that's, you really, like, do you know how this works?" Like, and this is a high profile motherfucker, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he
God,
literally,
I
know
what you're about now.
he
the story just floating around.
This nigga literally DoorDashed, or no, he postmated Plan B to the girl, bro. I've never heard that shit in my life.
I didn't know you can do that.
You can Postmates Plan B now. So I was like, "How do you know she took it?" And I was like, "Well, I'll know in 9 months." I was like,
"Oh, hell no."
But the fact that you can Postmates Plan B is amazing.
Yeah. But I understand. I kind of don't understand why one would be offended. Like, we both don't want this baby. Like, why are you?
Yeah.
And we don't know each other like that. Like, why are you?
I wouldn't be offended. I'd be forgetting. Make sure I take that shit.
She was just kind of like, I don't want this baby. Like, I think she was more offended that I thought she wanted my baby. I mean, like, nigga, who are you? You know what I mean? Like, granted, we have two now, but
it worked out.
You know what I mean? But like at that time, she was like, "You don't have to watch me do this." I was like, "Well, you know, I gotta.
Bitches be crazy."
You know. So, but like, yeah. Worked out fine.
Have you ever
this will happen after. Uh-huh. After that experience, we was like, "So, you've already gone raw." So,
oh, so it opened up new levels.
From there, we just went raw for the.
Look at God. Won't
the
he do it?
Irresponsible shit.
Won't he do
the
it?
Logic, the logic. That went 1-2-5. This is not so dumb.
This is our logic. Our logic was. We were using condoms for, yes, pregnancy purposes,
uh-huh.
but for STD purposes.
Okay.
And so once we did the raw and we got tested, we were like, "Well, we don't have anything."
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Wee.
So we were just like,
yeah.
And my pull-out game was on point until the day she was like, baby.
That's a lot of trust. Right, cool. That's a lot of trust.
Oh, yeah. We were stupid. We're very, very stupid.
But can you imagine, like, I mean, it's just funny that, like, we even have these kind of conversations. Like, niggas, like the way sex even was set up, like, you go back, motherfuckers were literally just, like, throwing dick in raw. Like, no one was even considering, like, that's what it was, you know? And I don't know if that means there's more people in the world, or the pull-out games were better back in the day, or if they just didn't know how babies were made. But, like, it's crazy to even think that, like, there was a time that, like, if you wanted to smash, like,
That was it.
Yeah. Like you might have.
You think people? No, they weren't pulling out because everybody had like 12 brothers and sisters. Yes. They definitely weren't pulling out.
Literally.
Well, it was easier to have separate families back then too.
Yeah, facts.
No social media.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess. Well, that's social media.
So you can have a family in Louisiana.
You can have a son in Argentina.
Exactly. That's like, how would they know? How would they know?
Like, I know everybody who's in the military.
They'll never know.
In the military back in the day definitely has kids all over the place.
For sure.
It definitely does.
And they don't even care. There's no way.
This is your brother, Xing Chao.
Xing Chao Jackson.
One for every tour.
How does that conversation with the testing go in relationships? Do you feel like that's a sit-down conversation before?
Like STD testing?
Yeah.
In relationships? First of all, if you're a mature adult, we should be getting tested.
Most people aren't mature.
I'm just saying, we should be getting tested. We should be being safe. Like, obviously, we don't sometimes. But, like, I've never been offended ever if a girl's like, let me see your paperwork. Like, honestly, when I got my paperwork after that thing, I put it on my wall.
It's like
bullshit.
Like a goal sheet.
Like a fucking sex diploma.
He puts it on the ceiling, so when he's going missionary, they can just see that shit, you know?
I put it on my wall.
Yeah, we good, girl.
And when chicks walked in, they was like, this you? I was like, nigga.
You see that on stage?
Yes.
Okay. A badge of honor.
I'm like, nigga, like a diploma.
Truthfully,
like,
I'm
about this wrong.
That
like,
shit.
Please.
That's all.
And you can see today's date, right?
Right. Yeah. And then, once it was me and her, and I was like, I'm clean, you clean, like, nigga. What are we doing?
Right. Yeah.
And then I don't think I got tested again until we did our life insurance policy. Because they want to know if you got AIDS, if you're dying. And then when she got pregnant, women have to go through so many tests. You know what I mean? So they test you for everything.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I was like, you clean, I'm clean. I did that shit. You clean, I'm clean.
Yeah.
And then we did the blood work was all fine. I was like, so I ain't got shit, nigga. That was years ago. Like, I'm like, if I had something, it would have flared up by now. Like,
dude, this girl called me.
I
had this girl call me that I was having unprotected sex. That's how you make it sound dramatic. Unprotected sex with, and she called me and she was like, hey, Brody, so I just wanted you to know, like, how are you doing, first of all? And I was like,
it's fine.
I'm okay. How are you doing? No, calls me up and she's like, yeah, so I just wanted to let you know, like, I went to the doctor. Now my heart is beating.
Appreciate y'all. I'm like, thank you so much.
Cam hopping in.
Thank you, Keon.
My heart is beating.
Keon, before you leave, where can they find you on social media?
www.keonpoli.com. Literally all my social. Keon Poli. I'm the only Keon Poli in the world. So
In the world.
You can find me on everything.
Amazing.
Except for that one stripper called Keon of the Pole. You know?
Have a great show.
And coming to the table, we got Kevin Tate.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, Kevin Tate actually has heard this on stage. Like, you're coming in right. Actually, it's fun. This is so ironic. This girl called me and she told me that. Like,
talking
like,
about STD test.
Yo, she told. You heard.
Where the cameras at?
Yeah, right there. But she called me up, told me that she had some chlamydia or something like that. And she's like, I've been with you. But she's like, I also was in Jamaica. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, you definitely got that shit in Jamaica. Yeah, that shit. I was like, nah, nigga, that wasn't me. You know what I'm saying? So just sight unseen. I was too scared to get tested. I just went straight to the clinic. And it was like, yo, just give me the motherfucking antibiotics. I don't even want to know if I have it. Just give me. Yeah, I was like, I got one in a possible right now. So like, just give me the sauce right now. Give me the juices. But like, that was the craziest shit because it's like, you know, like, that's a scary ass call. And like, granted, like, I was glad that even in that realm, she said chlamydia, that it could like,
and it wasn't like.
See how you whisper that shit? niggas are scared to even whisper.
Nobody's still out here catching crabs and shit. How is you catching crabs? Who walking around with scabies. In 2022? Like, I got to shave everything. I shave my eyebrows off.
How'd your set go?
It went well, man. Yeah. No, it went well, man. Listen, let me tell you something.
Can we bring his audio up?
Yo, listen, let me tell you something, man. It's BET weekend. You know Chocolate Sunday's already got a vibe of its own.
Yes.
It's already smacking. But then you mix in BET, the vibes. We got Brody in the building with the
spider chain
tuck on some fly shit. Sometimes, right? It's cracking. And so I just think it's good to be here. It's good to be seen. It's good night to be out.
Yeah, great
night.
It's good, man. Yeah, it's like black people taking over LA weekend, yo.
No,
did you guys did you see Summer Walker's outfit?
Yeah, she had her titties out with the gold, with the fucking sack of Zaria dollars over her.
I don't know who Summer Walker is.
She had golden dollars over her.
It's a lot of baggy chains going on. It's a lot of baggy chains.
And she's pregnant with her second baby, too. So she
and she got a baby bump.
Yep.
Like yep.
I'm going to pull it up right now for you, Kev.
I'm like, man.
What happened?
Somebody.
Oh, really yeah, Chelsea. That's our girl, Chelsea.
Shout
out to you, Chelsea.
Happy birthday, Chelsea.
Woo-woo. She got you.
So, you know what? It's good to be here on a Sunday night. If you don't know shit, now you know. What we talking about, man?
We're just talking, man. We're just hanging out.
No, because usually I don't get a chance to see Brody up on this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. We don't get the mics and the headphones.
Yeah.
You got it all. We got the full package today.
No, we was jumping.
Let me tell you, motherfuckers out there lying like a motherfucker at the front door. Motherfucker lying like, man, I know the motherfucking podcast. I'm here for the podcast. Nobody's dropping the podcast.
Oh, they dropping the podcast now? I'm here for Sunday Scoop. I'm here for the motherfucker.
I'm here for the motherfucker.
I'm here for the scoop. Yeah.
I'm here for the scoop.
Richie right there.
Motherfuckers every day. Motherfuckers in there talking about, I'm here to get the goddamn shit out the pool. Somebody shit in the pool.
Hell no.
They shit in the pool.
Somebody shit in the pool. They told a man at the front door. So I don't know, man. I don't know. It's always an exciting night to be at Chocolate Sundays. You got to get your Instagrams together. Get your clean shirt. Mm-hmm. Come
got
on
to,
now.
Got to.
I'm just trying to find this Summer Walker
right
picture,
here.
Man.
Got
you
got it?
It?
Got
okay.
It. Slow.
There it is. My bad.
Her titties are summering. Yep.
So are y'all yay or nay? So I know where I'm coming
You
in.
Know, it's interesting that she's pregnant and still has abs on the outside.
See it again. She's pregnant. I want to look again.
Like the baby's strong inside.
Are they real titties?
No, hell no. Those are
hell no.
They're also pregnant titties. So
well, we can't be mad at pregnant titties.
No,
they got
look at
pregnant this. Titties. Got to be held accountable.
I don't know. No, those are not real. You can see the line right there.
You see
the dark line.
I think they're fake. They're definitely fake.
It could work. It's not a bad job.
Perfect bulge on the side. That's what be giving it away because we got that natural drop. If you just got that perfect round, you know, I got questions.
All right, because there's such thing as side titty.
If you think Summer Walker's titties are fake, drop that in the chat.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
You got the
at home.
We need to
know. Are they real or are they fake?
I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to chill. Because you got to. Right. She like everybody's titties fake and shit. She got a nice C cup for y'all that can't see and looking respectfully, man. It's the C cups. They be calling all the D cups fake. And in most cases, they be right. I don't fuck with nothing fake.
Just wishing they D's.
Yeah, I don't even fuck with nothing fake. Good night to Brandon Brody with the Long Island and the Hennessy. Good night.
No, you know what? You're going for it, bro.
I asked for a tequila soda, and I don't know what this is.
That's a long boy.
Wait, what is this? A tequila what?
Oh, it looks like reposado and soda.
Oh, it's reposado.
Yeah. Oh, it's reposado. Let me check right now. We'll find out.
A little taste test.
No, that's
they clean that disoriented, off like that's a.
I think that's someone.
So dig, so they close, so dig this, so this some shit. So this is the shit. This some shit.
Thank you, Charles.
This some shit I heard on my motherfucking Facebook today.
Uh huh.
That a motherfucker they done changed the law to where girls. Women can't go and get that, you know what I mean, abortions. This is on my Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about.
But my thing is, it actually changes the game for fellas, right? So we know it changed the game for women for sure. But it changed the game for women because it's like, for men, because it's like, yo, you don't get the point to use the same idea and say, oh, you know, you can't just, who you have a baby with is up to you. You have a choice. To say whether I want to have it. You knew he was a deadbeat motherfucker. You knew he was a first one night stand. And then you go and still have a baby by him. Well, that helps the men in that conversation in a sense when you talk about accountability. But now I can't go. They won't let me go. It ain't no clinic. It ain't no YMCA. Yeah,
you can't even tell him like, hey, I need some
YMCA.
So now I think the accountability really falls into a man lap because we shoot babies.
Yeah.
Women can hang out all day as an oven. You can put anything you want to put in that motherfucker. You can put a plastic pie or you can put a plastic meatloaf.
Right.
But it,
a meatloaf.
That,
hey.
Or whatever. Y'all going to judge me? Y'all going to free me? Judge me? I'm unaccountable for my shit. I'm about to start calling unaccountable and start doing shit. But I'm telling you, it changed the game because men, you have to understand it. Now, you have to strap up, bro.
You literally have to.
You just have to, dog. Because you could be a dick. Because it's always, I just think it has been a double standard. And I've always represented the double standard. You know, you don't have to do
it. It's going to be interesting because right now, it's like this summer, you know, everyone's making jokes. Hot girl summer. Hot, you know what I mean? Like, everyone likes to just get their single on the summer. And it's like, you're going to have a lot of motherfucking babies 9 months out from, so I don't know what that was going to be, like March or something like that, you know? You're going to see a lot of people.
And I'm not okay with it. I think that's some bullshit, and I actually feel for the ladies when maybe I did. When I thought that the law was unattainable, it'll never happen. But now that it happened, I'm like,
when I saw that, I didn't know. I was like, wait, what? They could overturn?
Yes, absolutely.
That's weird, I thought that dude. Was just fixed, no. kind of in the Constitution well,
even,
or wherever.
Even, but
it
even
is.
The medical side yeah. effects of it are like it's scary and
it's
sad
very
for
dangerous.
The women.
You
know?
Can die. There's yeah. so yeah. many types of bad pregnancies that you have to physically get it aborted to save your own life.
Like, okay. no disrespect, but niggas are in this because they want to keep getting yeah. pussy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, no, because I feel like... Because
they don't want girls to be like, I could die from...
Because yeah. they're going to flip it like, either way, I could die yeah. or
that's
anything.
The new
there's
shit,
an there's an unaccountability clause.
Oh, my God.
There's
still an Kamari thoughts. Let's get Kamari's thoughts.
I'm just like, the day I can't.
The
day I die. Now women are really taking a risk. Like, nigga, I could die from your dick.
I could die from your dick.
No, literally. And it's just like, it's for me, it's like... It's all the men that voted against it. You know how many times bitches got abortions from y'all? Bitches got Plan B
oh, it's a us
for
thing?
Y'all? No, I'm just saying, like, it's men who voted against it. Men oh. overturned it. And it's like, how many of y'all literally got away with something because your girl got an abortion because she took
what do you
a
mean
Plan
by
B?
Get away.
She's like,
I want
away,
you
like,
to unpack that a little more.
I think she
well,
means, like, get
you
got out
you
of
didn't
it.
Have a condom on two strokes in, so, or nay.
Nay. I mean, wait, what'd you say?
You knew he didn't have a condom on two strokes in. It didn't take you to him to nut in you to say, this is the chocolate sundae, right?
Yes.
It didn't take for him to nut in you to know he didn't have a condom on.
Well, no, but I mean, I feel like if we're going in both raw, we have a mutual agreement before, so.
Which is pull out?
Yes, absolutely.
No, but now we're playing with fire because you expect him to be perfect when he's enjoying you. Now, when it happens, you want to say, hey, you know what? You did this to me. No, baby, I love you. I'm attracted
I mean,
to you. I'm
always,
so
attracted. Not necessarily.
I can't even fucking listen to you on the phone without nothing. So let alone be in you. Should I pipe it down? Or do we want to talk real talk?
Yeah. Real talk,
though,
real talk.
I think that when it comes to that, I think women have to be accountable to. You know he ain't had one on. Mm-hmm. You trusted him and it didn't mm-hmm. work, basically. And so what happens is that now you're like, oh, shit. But now that it's not even there anymore, now that option, so you have to be like, yo, you ain't got one on, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. You can't leave
it's
it.
Tough. It's
tough. It changes the game for everything. Yeah. It really does.
No, it just.
It is a mutual agreement. I will agree with you.
Well,
like,
do
it's
we
not
still,
all the man, it's
now,
not all the woman.
Do you think more women will get birth control?
I see what you're saying.
IUDs, you know what I mean?
Yes,
that's a good question,
yes,
though, bro.
Because mm-hmm. this is an era where, truthfully, men should be stepping up and saying, okay, I'll get the vasectomy. I'll do that. I'll help even it out.
He was about to make me spit on all his cords.
That's fine. Spit it
real
out.
Real men not out here getting vasectomies.
Why not? Why not?
Literally.
Just
y'all, you're willing to let
which is his business.
He had a consultation issue.
Which is his business.
He literally had a consultation.
But as if, I'm not cutting my motherfucking nuts off. For nobody.
But you cool with us cutting everything out just so that you could bust a nut and not have a problem?
First of all, I wouldn't touch you without a condom if I'm not married to you.
Okay.
I don't play the unprotected sex game.
Well, you different.
Right? I'm sure. But at the same time, I just feel like when you do that, there's accountability on both ends. People seem to want to point the fingers. Both the man want to say, oh, you going to have the baby, bitch. You don't give a fuck. And the woman going to say, you know you ain't having a condom. Well, you did too. And I think there's a level of accountability to kind of get lost in the sauce. I could be right. I'm going to back off. I could be right. And that's trademark too. For everybody that's listening to the Chocolate Sunday. That's the name of my podcast. The I Could Be Right podcast. Yeah. Make sure y'all tap in. That's real talk of this shit.
Tap in. That's the name of my podcast right there. Tap in. So make sure y'all listen to the tap in.
Y'all just going
to
plug your own podcast
and
on the podcast.
This is the Sunday Scoop. Sure. Just so we're not confused.
Yes. Awesome. No. Who else was on, like, the set today?
You know what? Tonight, man, lineup. You know, I'm not even that good with paying attention to the lineup because this right now is Tony Rock's show. We did have Brett Riley on the show.
Mm-hmm. I was on the show.
We had Takara.
I was just on the last show, yeah.
Oh, good. Brandon show. Brody was on the last show.
Nice.
Y'all work hard up here. Y'all don't even know who on the show. Y'all,
yeah.
Y'all pulled up for the plug. But, no, absolutely. It's been dope. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of dope comments on this second show. Shout out to my dog, Tony Rock. Happy birthday and shit.
Yeah, happy birthday, yeah. Tony,
Chocolate
man.
Sundays, man. If you ain't here, you ain't nowhere.
That's facts.
That's a fact. Yeah. That's the only place to be.
And I feel like this is a good question to ask you. Like, sure. What does Chocolate Sundays mean to you? Because I know you have a long history with the brand and with the, yes, with the team. Like, absolutely. I just want to hear.
Well, you know what? For me, man, I feel like, for me, Chocolate Sundays is one of the last standing rooms where, you know, black comics are featured, mm-hmm, for the most part. I think that it's very important. For me, it's been more somewhat of a home. So it means a lot from a loyalty standpoint, being able to come here and talk, tell jokes in front of the same people, hosting for a little while, talking, growing a lot of my material in here. So, mm-hmm, big deal. Big deal for Hollywood. Big deal for Sunset Strip.
Yeah. Do you like hosting more than, like, doing your set, being in the lineup?
You know, I enjoy it.
Because you're a great host. I've watched you host and fucking kill it. Amazing.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. Yeah. You know, I love hosting, but I love the stage. Mm-hmm. One thing about hosting is fun is that you get to try a lot of new shit and play with shit and throw shit around. That's always fun on a stage like this. I think when it comes to being a feature on the show,
I
look at that as go time. I look at that as game time. I block out everybody. I block out the people in the crowd. I block out my friends, my family, other comedians. I go up there and do. Somebody ain't never seen Kevin Tate before. And because this is such a central place, you got tours, you got. So I do me. I don't play with this stage. I've never take as many opportunities as I get here, I never take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really appreciate it.
Love it.
Yeah, I think for me, Chocolate Sundays, man, it's like similar to what he's saying, but it's like it's rooted in a style of comedy that no other venue is able to encapsulate the way that this does. You know, like the way this night. I mean, it's a style. There's a DJ. Everyone in here is going to be animated. You're not just seeing a person just standing in front of a microphone. You're seeing a person saying their joke, but then acting out. They might even have music in their joke. You're going to see this style. Like, if you want to come see, like, there's different styles of comedy. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, sure.
If you want to come and see an animated style where you have comedians that are giving you complete energy and they're also requiring your energy right back, this is the place to be.
You can't beat it, man. Hottest show in the country. You can't beat Chocolate Sundays. You can't beat Chocolate Sundays. And you can't beat Chocolate Sundays.
Yeah.
From the energy, exactly what Brody was saying, the way it's set up, that people come to laugh, good environment. It's a factory of laughs.
Yeah.
You done been around in New York. You done been to Texas, Florida, Miami. All these places got amazing rooms. Even L.A. has amazing. Something about the Laugh Factory that's electric and it's flammable.
And even more importantly, something about Laugh Factory on Chocolate Sundays.
No, Chocolate Sundays, 100%.
Yeah.
Chocolate Sundays, 100%.
It's just like, and it's like, people know when you on that stage at Chocolate, like, whoever's on that stage for the most, on Chocolate Sundays, is they in the main lineup? I can't speak for all the first impression spots all the time. But
it's the same people, the energy's still there if you
rip
energy.
It. If you
but
rip
if
you, it first,
but like,
yeah.
You might bomb, but they'll tell you, they'll let everyone know, like, hey, we don't know who that motherfucker was.
Yeah.
But like, you know for a fact, everyone you see in that main lineup is going to be ripping. Like, it's just guaranteed.
Yo,
guaranteed
you,
good
you time. Was funny as shit today, talking about a lot of shit that you were talking about. You're just a funny dude. I fuck with you. Never know, man. You say a lot of ill shit. I done forgot because we lied.
No.
But I really would fuck with y'all. This motherfucker's stupid, man. Brody might talk about anything, man, but that's my brother, man. Funny.
Yeah,
ass
I talk
about
it. What did I say? I came in the first thing I said was just like, I was like, I do Chocolate Sundays. I'm like, not so chocolatey anymore, looking at all the white people. And I said, it's BET weekend. I said, these niggas out here need to return their cars before the clock strikes 12, because they're going to turn right back into pumpkins. You know, because all their Lambos going to turn back into pumpkins.
It was mad racist, but it was funny as shit.
Did y'all?
But it was fun. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, BET weekend, did y'all hit any parties? Here we go.
I had a couple. Yeah, I had a couple.
Which one did you hit?
I went to Find Your Friends joint, and then what else? I went to Soho House too.
Was that the Eric Bellinger party?
No. Okay. No. But now you're making me feel some type of way.
No.
I didn't go to that.
No, because it got shut down. That's what. Because people were trying to go upstairs to the rest of Soho House, and they were like, "No, niggas, like y'all are in this section."
Oh no.
You know what I mean?
So I was at the Soho Warehouse downtown.
Downtown. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I ain't partied too much. I was actually in Bakersfield last night. I had a show in Bakersfield.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So I made it back today. You know what, man? I've been out here for 15 years, 16 years now, man. I'm going to 07. The numbers could be wrong. But I moved out here in 07, and, I've been doing that shit. So it's good to be at them. I fuck with it. I ain't do too much.
But we've been doing it. You know what I'm saying?
We've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, you can't. It's overwhelming. You can't hit everything. It's like I look for the shit that's like, it's a personal invite. They got a gifting suite. I'm hosting or you're a part of it. You know?
Yeah, and I want to be a part of it, too. Yeah. I don't search it, but I'm down with it.
I'm down. I personal invite. Because you're going up tonight, right?
Yeah, I just went up.
Went up. Yeah. So, I treat this as, this is, a part of the BET weekend. You're just, right. You know what I'm saying?
You're that guy.
Yeah.
You're performing.
I perform on Chocolate Sunday's BET weekend. That's
planned.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like to this is how I look at it.
No, this is where it's at.
I feel that,
and you're getting to work in. Did you hit any parties?
I did. I had a whole BET weekend planned, and I ended that shit on Thursday. It was the most L.A. shit I have been a part of in years. I went to the Tao all-white party. Every bitch in L.A. did.
Oh, yeah, Tao,
okay?
Yeah.
Everyone did. When I tell you, I was moving in the crowd like a festival at Coachella. We were all one giant wave. Everybody was swaying, people were falling. I was like, I'm fucking out.
I can't do it.
It was for Travis Scott. So bitches didn't know how to act. Nobody knew how to act. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew somebody, but nobody actually knew anybody.
It was bad.
What were you saying?
I was going to ask, how should they act? It's BET weekend.
I mean, with some common sense, people literally were just it was their first time outside, since the pandemic, since anything.
I'd rather go to a kickback, honestly.
Right, because this is the first time that people can afford a lot of shit to actually show up to a party for BET weekend.
You turn Kevin's
mic
up?
It was understood, and I really, I didn't even get mad about it. I was just in it, and I was like, this is really L.A. Let me just embrace the L.A. And I got in, it was fine, but it was nuts.
What spot was it?
At Tao.
Oh, and Tao, that's right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Literally crazy, but I canceled the rest of my weekend.
It's over the top, man.
It's too much. Too much.
And I used to work it from a lot of angles. I used to do radio. So when I first moved out here, I'd be in the radio room. I'd be working with the radio people and all that. Then just kind of going to all the different events. We're going to a sneaker event here, getting gift bags. We're going to some other food event here, getting gift bags. Mm-hmm. So it's and then I got to the point where I started hosting actual BET experience things. So, one of the early years of the BET experience, me and Drea hosted them. So we went around to all the events, and they made a whole show.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of a little, it was a compilation show. So we literally would hit the different concerts, the different speaking, the seminars and all that.
Yeah.
And then they put it all together, and we kind of give little sound bites and all that about it. So, I've literally been, and I've been to the awards. I've been involved with this experience from every angle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great thing. It's much needed, especially for our community. It's a great thing to acknowledge everybody. I make a lot of jokes about it, but it is an important thing to the city. It brings a lot of money to the city.
Nice.
Everyone feels themselves when this shit comes around.
Yeah.
You can't even go to Denny's because they call it BET Awards Official Denny's Night. You know,
I was about to say Fixin's downtown is probably lit right now.
Downtown?
Yeah, downtown.
Have you been to Fixin's?
No,
it's like a soul food spot.
Oh, is that right downtown. There? LA Live?
At LA Live.
Yeah, that used to be Shaquille's, right?
Oh my god,
I think it used to be Shaquille O'Neal's restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah they just, I've never been there, but I see it.
Bro, you should go. Well,
they don't serve alcohol, so fuck them niggas. I'm kidding. I would love to have some soul food. Shout out to Fixin's. I'm just kidding because I want to come get a free Fixin's. Y'all listen to this podcast.
That's good. That's good.
Take it back.
That made me think of a question. You were saying you used to work in radio. This is to both of you guys. What was your first job before you decided, I'm going to do comedy, full time?
Oh, shit. Man, Well, I was an English teacher, man.
Shut the fuck up. What?
Yeah. So
you was like the cool. You was the cool teacher, though.
Mr. Tate.
Yeah.
Mr. Tate. So you had a button up on?
Yeah. I can't even. 24, 25.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then I was doing that. Then I ended up getting a job at the motor plants in Detroit, which is a big deal.
Okay.
So I kind of laid off of teaching and hung out in the plants. But I always felt like it all my all my jobs ended bad. I mean, not ended bad, but I just stopped going because I always knew I was going to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started working in the plants. I even worked for the city, scraping potholes and shit.
Wow.
I've done a lot of little odd jobs, but because I always knew eventually I'm going to go do something else in my own mind. And then one day I got up and said, I'm moving to L.A. I'm going to be a comedian.
From Detroit.
Like, what?
From Detroit?
You just going to quit the plant? Yeah. $28 an hour to go do what?
Wow.
I said, I just, out of nowhere. Well, I was a model in Detroit for like a year and a half. A summer maybe. Right? but that introduced me to the stage. Don't know how much time y'all got for a story, so
no,
I'm going to tell it
go.
In 17
go,
seconds.
Go.
I was doing this play called Drama in the Shop in Detroit. And because I walked into a store to buy a shirt, the guy that owned the store was like, yo, man. I said, yo, is that you up on this? He said, yeah, man, I model. You should model, too. Hey, I'm doing this joint. I went and tried it out. 200 people, they picked me out of some people.
Wow.
I'm modeling. I'm doing shows. This is my first time being on the stage besides basketball. Right? I'm a ball player. So besides that, now I'm doing modeling. And I walked out on the stage and did a show with a guy named AJ Johnson, rest in peace. They came to Detroit to do a play, Brody, called Drama in the Shop.
Yeah.
And I was one of the models, Drama in the Hair Shop. And I was one of the models that would come out. Nigga, I did about 200 push-ups back then. But it was a play. But when all the models would go and chill, I would hang out by the stage because I wanted to know what that was like. And I would watch them rehearse. AJ Johnson on the play. He like, yeah, man. I said, man, yo, I'm going to move to L.A., man. I'm going to be a comedian. He like, yeah, all right, cool. When you move to Hollywood, fuck with me, man. I said, man, I'm going to come there. And at that time, I did the play. I did it. I was blown away by the reaction. 2-minute part, move to L.A. and all of that. But I say all that to say it all comes from that, though. Like, plays and shit like that. That's how I got here doing this shit.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to just add to that. I feel like there's always... It's always interesting when you walk in your purpose and you kind of step into your purpose.
Bruh.
There's like these kind of like clues that are along the way, but you don't really see it until like you're on the other side.
Yes.
And then it's like,
all
damn.
Confirmation.
Like,
yes.
I've been loving this the entire time, but I just didn't even know that that was my thing. Like how you're saying you're at the modeling gig, but you're attracted to the stage.
Performing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, I'm in a strip.
I think that's just amazing. Yeah, that's
no,
a really cool
I'm
story.
In a strip club. In 2001, far from, I didn't start comedy until 2010.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a strip club in Detroit, me and my cousin, Mike Epps, we had the brass key, Mike Epps is in there. Like, he's in there, and I'm like, yo, I'm faded. I walk over to his table like, yo, Mike, what the fuck you still, because it's Monday, what the fuck you still doing in the city? Your show been over, you better get up out of town. I dap him up.
Mm-hmm.
He look at me and laugh. He said, man, you funny, man. You funny, bro. You got that look, bro.
Wow.
You got that look. Give me your number, man. This 2001. We ain't talking about. I'm like, you got a pencil in a strip club. I wrote my number down. I gave it to Mike. I gave it to Mike Epps. At the time, I was working in Cooley High in Detroit City. And I'm at work. My sister called up to the motherfucking job. She called up to the school, Cooley High School, while I'm in class. And says, I need to talk to my brother. My sister's 1 year younger than me. She's better than this behavior. She's better than this. And I go to the office. She's like, yo, Mike Epps just called the fucking house. And at the time, we had an answering machine. She said, yeah, he just called and said he was looking for you. He just kept saying, yo, brother, though, he funny. He got that look. This way back. And I'm like, she's like, I went to go meet him downtown. I don't give a fuck. I said, Sheree. I asked her, man, I'm a game
up. She was trying to get the bag.
She done went down there and met him downtown and just spoke to him and shit.
Yeah.
She was like, but yeah, your brother, this, that, and other. She was like, and I caught it on the answering machine. The answering machine picked up that conversation between Mike Epps and my sister.
You still have the tape?
No. Ah. I played that tape every day. The little answer machine tapes was that small, and I played it to everybody in the hood every day. I let my tape rock till my tape pop.
I love that
bitch popped.
Wow.
And I, year years later, here I am, and I tell Mike Epps that story. I haven't had a chance to really tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was – I actually talked to him. I called him, and he answered the phone. He was like, yeah, man. Yo, man, you funny, man, because I'm ironing in the basement in my mama's house, rest in peace. And I'm talking to him on my house phone, and he was like, yeah, man, you funny, man. You got that look, man. I'm telling you, you ever been to L.A.? I'm like, nah. And he was like, man, I'm telling you, man, you got to fuck with it. And then he changed his number. I never had his number again,
damn,
bro.
Damn.
And then life happens, and here, that's my dog.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't fuck up the vibe trying to tell, yo, motherfucker, back in 2001.
Yeah, you keep it gangsta now. Like,
I love
that.
Thank you for sharing that, man. That was great. That was great.
Yeah, so.
Brody, I want to hear your first job, and then we'll wrap. I don't want to keep you guys too long. I know you got a show to do.
Yeah, so my first, well, the job that I was doing when I got into stand-up was in, I worked at McDonald's. All right, I got a job at McDonald's, and I remember because I wanted to work in radio, and I went to sign up for the internship for radio because I was in college at the time, and they told me I was too young to do the internship at WPGC 95.5. That was Washington, D.C.'s biggest station, which is kind of like an equivalent to a Power 106 out here, mm-hmm. 97, whatever. And I was too young, and so my parents and my brother started getting on me for like getting a job. I was like, I it's not that I don't want to get a job. I just want to do something that fulfills what I want to do, you know? And then I ended up, like, just going to McDonald's and getting that job. And, like, I, like, went up there, and they were like, I was like, hi, I'd like to apply. They're like, you speak English? I was like, yeah. They're like, all right, cool. You can start tomorrow. Like, it was that fast. Like, that fast, right?
No interview needed.
Yeah. Super fast. Did that job. Boom, 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 whatever. You know, that was the job I was doing. But the way I actually got into all of it is actually similar to him. So this is prior to me even getting to stand-up. Yeah. I was doing this McDonald's job, went back to school. And then that next summer, I got the job at the radio station. And then my homie, rest in peace to him, my boy Gozy Maneri, he signed me and my other homie up, Alan, up for stand-up. I was in my yearbook, my high school yearbook, I got biggest comedian, right, in my yearbook. And prior to that, I did a Romeo and Juliet. We had to read Romeo and Juliet in my English class. And we had to reenact the scene. We were able to either act it out in class or film it. My group, we filmed that joint. It was so funny. My teacher said, yo, you guys should audition for the play. And at that time, my ignorance, I thought plays were just for losers and gay people. I was like, nah, I can't do that. So 10th grade, we did another joint, The Odyssey, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did a scene for my class. My teacher, English teacher again, tells the drama teacher,
hey, this is the guy.
That, like, yeah. Yo, they just did a great thing. You should watch this. He watched this. Like, yeah, I told Brandon he should audition. Again, I thought this was for losers and people. You know, I was like, this is not my thing. I was playing sports with my friends. I was joning. We wrote, you know, I was like, I can't do a high school play. And so then,
Then
my junior year, the girl I was dating, she auditions for the play. And she says, yo, you should audition too. And I was like, all right, I'll audition, but don't tell anybody type shit.
Pussy motherfucker, man. Pussy.
Hey, it be pushing you the right kind, pushes you to greatness. You feel me?
I did the play. Not only did I do the audition, I got cast in that joint. I got cast as a pretty nice character, right?
Yeah.
My friends found out, they said, oh, we about to roast you. We about to show. These are my friends playing varsity football. I'm a junior. They playing varsity football. They said, oh, we going to show. We going to roast you, all this.
Yeah.
They came. They were blown away. They were like, yo.
Wow.
You nice. So then from that, I got into, like, I did another play. My senior year, I ended up hosting my pep rally. I ended up hosting the Harris show, and then I did a musical to end up my senior year of high school. And the teacher came to my parents, was like, I think that he needs to be in this, you know? So then when I went to college, so we kind of jumping back.
Who's,
like,
the teacher? What's the teacher's name?
His name is Adam Graham, Mr. Graham, yo. Mr. Graham is, like, one of the people that, like, I salute him to this day.
Yeah.
He's one of the most pivotal teachers in my life because I didn't know what I was going to do. I was a talkative kid. I had no direction. I really had I did nothing. All I knew was that I was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I always cracked jokes. I always had to get that joke off. My grades were fantastic. My behavior was trash. And it wasn't I was fighting. I wasn't rude to teachers, but I couldn't shut the fuck up. I had to get that joke off. Like, I'd be like,
so like, call like, my dad. Why did Tinker cross the road, bitch? Call my dad. I can't take it no more.
I was like, just call my parents right now because I'm going to say this joke.
So, yeah. I gotta say it.
So, but it ended up me getting biggest comedian, you know.
What's up?
And then Tony on. I'm going to get out on the Tony on, right? You switching?
No, finish your story.
Okay. So anyway, so I fucking, like, I get into this. I'm realizing this is what it is. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Tony Rock.
It's Tony Rock's birthday right here, dog.
In the building.
In the building. We got Bump from the show for his birthday.
Yo, come get some.
I want to apologize to Kevin Tate. He texted me like 3 days ago, but I haven't had my phone in my hand in the last 4 days.
I'll get no
So I woke up this afternoon, looked at my phone, and shit was like 4 days ago. Kevin Tate was like, nigga, what up? I'm like, nigga, that was 4 days ago, nigga. I'm sorry.
You want to see the
chair? I'm sorry. No, what's
pop
up,
in,
yo?
Pop in.
What's up, everybody? No, you good. You good.
Shout out my
yo,
Tony
my man Teron right here.
Teron.
Tell a story.
All right, so initially, he told me, I saw Tony at this party, right? And he told me, he's like, yo, you want to do my, it's literally a birthday show. He said, yo, you want to do my show at the Laugh Factory this Sunday? I was like, hell yeah. And he was like, all right, bet, pull up, do 7:15, you can do my show. I got you. The whole time, I pull up, I'm early, I'm here. And he's like, yeah, you can do this show. Oh, I got you. All right, bet. I do the show. I go up. He finds out, like, hold on, after my set, he's like, wait a second, this nigga's not Teron. This nigga is, who is this nigga, right? I did a good job.
I let him think
I was Teron just so I could do, just so, I was like, he's like waiting on the Persian and black shit. I'm like, so I'm black and Cuban. Like, none of that. But I didn't even tell him because I kind of had a feeling. I was like, I think he thinks I'm someone else, but I'm not going to fucking let him know because I want this guy. That's how this fortress works. I would have never got this Chocolate Sundays opportunities like that unless he thought I was someone else. He was like, yo, my man, yo, B, my son, yo, son, my man, Teron is going to blaze up my birthday show, all right, on Mothers, all right? I don't give a fuck what no one says. And I pull up like, yeah, it's just me. Teron,
fucking story, yo.
Yo,
but look, my dude right here, DC's
DC. So when we went to DC though, that's when you got another level though. We went to DC.
Exactly.
Tony did a show at the DC Improv, yo. DC. But I showed him. I said, yo, we gonna show you a real good time.
Yo,
and I showed you.
We had a ball.
I showed you a real good time in DC, bro.
What time this goddamn show start?
Hey, no, but let me tell you something. I got a Tony Rock story. It's going to take me 15 seconds.
Let's go. Let's hear it.
I love this.
Yo, so, yo, fucking around with Tony Rock. I'm in New York. It's my first time in New York. I said, I know Tony. I seen the nigga on Sunset.
We got you, Chip.
I called him. Tony Rock answered the phone. Like, yo, no, he texted me or whatever it was. He's like, yo, meet me at the Garden. You can come to the show. I'm like, oh shit, I'm lit. Tony Rock, like, pull up. Nigga, I took 9
That's
trains,
my
nigga.
City.
I didn't even have enough coats on, bro. I took 9 trains. I get there, tickets is good. Show is dope. He come up to me, see me, say, yo, you good?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
He said, fuck it, after the show, come with us. We going to another bar. We go to the next bar. He got all his private folks. We chilling. He with me. He like, yo, Kev, you good? But the further we went, it was more of his friends. Party got sophisticated.
We further drunk. Away from the city.
He said, yo, come on here. I'm going to take you to a party in the hood. I'm with Tone. I'm going. We get in the hood. Tone ain't got catered. This nigga say, yo, I don't know where I'm at in New York. Now I'm lost. But I'm like, if nothing else, Tone, my man, he'll ride me to the crib. I'm talking about borough to borough.
Yes.
Man, I see that nigga. He come leaving out the club. I'm drunk, lost, no ride, homie. Like, yo, you good? And he pointing from like 15 feet away. Like, nigga, no, I'm not good, nigga. How do I get home, cuz?
You know it's real when a nigga's like, hey man, I don't feel safe right now. Exactly.
No,
where were y'all?
I was in New York. What are you kidding me? We took me to 4 boroughs and asked me, am I good? Nigga, no. I need a ride home.
Yo, I love y'all. Happy birthday to me. Cancer season, all the cancers in the building. I think the show about to start. I got to get on stage and do my thing.
You hosting? Are you hosting?
Tate, you on deck.
All right, I'm
on deck.
Oh, you can't hear me.
I'm on deck. Hey, I'm Teron. You need Teron?
Tonight. All right, it's time to shine. Oh, wait, hold up. You gotta tell the people.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This was such a great show. We had great conversation.
Yo, the Chocolate Sundays podcast is awesome. If y'all ain't on up on it, man, y'all need to get in the mix, man.
Yeah.
We coming this motherfucker. You getting real conversations from motherfucking comedians with goddamn Jack Daniels or whatever type of do say you drinking.
They keep it on brand for the black people.
Or whatever type of do say you drinking. And she got some, too. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. That ain't no apple juice.
Shout out to Chelsea. Yeah, she's taking care of it. She's taking care
of it. Happy birthday, Chelsea.
She's looking out.
Chelsea makes sure.
Oh, happy birthday to her, too. Is that her birthday? Oh, come on.
Here we go. Cancer season. Gang, gang. Cancer season. Gang, gang. Come on, man. Stop playing with it.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Follow me on IG. Kevin Tatius. KEVINTATEIS. You follow my page. I do the Zodiac Show. Real conversations. No place I'd rather be. Tap in. Chocolate Sundays.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. For me, Brandon Brody, a.k.a. Brody the Joker. Brody the Joker, at B-R-O-A-D-Y, the
Hilarious
Joker.
Skits.
On every platform. Yes, please check out my skits. Yeah. I'm touring right now with King Batch. You know, we got Raleigh, North Carolina coming up, and we got Timonium, Maryland, my city, Maryland, my home, Maryland. So we coming soon, so be on the lookout for that. But definitely follow for those dates, and tap in with me, man. This has been an amazing time. You guys are amazing hosts. Thank you. And, of course, my brother right here. We've had some great.
This is a different Brody in L.A. When you see him in D.C.,
He seen me in D.C.
I seen him.
Yo.
You can't talk to me about Brandon Brody. Nobody.
Hey, look. Look, I'm a very meek person out here. But in D.C.,
this is Barnell Hill.
Let me tell you. And we just did. So, Red Grant's running for mayor. Shout out to my brother, Red Grant. He's running for mayor. I just did his campaign show back at the DC Improv. We hung out. We had a good time, man. Red, like, Kev, you know what's up. We know what's up, man. So I go back home. I love my city, man.
Hell yeah. Love it.
Shout out Detroit City 313. Thank y'all for having me.
Come on.
202-301.
My name is Rich. Hopefully Lonnie thinks I did a good job hosting
today.
You
killed that shit, bro. You're killing it, man.
You know, I just want to make it to next week, you know.
You may have bombed at the Improv, but you took a W at the factory, man.
Thank you, man. You can follow me at Rich Made That on IG. And
I am your host, at It's Kamari Love on all platforms. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This was your Sunday Scoop, and we will see you next week.
And we out.
We out.
We out.
Thank you, Brody.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
That's great.